Good evening. It's great to see you guys all. And, well, since the audio has already been an issue, I might as well tell you how I ruined Dr. Scudder's Wednesday night in the sound booth. My wife and I, we were dating, so probably 12 years ago, and Dr. Scudder was doing the Wednesday night message, and Flo was doing the audio, and so I decided I was going to sit in the sound booth next to her, and I'm sitting in the chair. And then I was like, oh, I got to stretch this leg. And I went like this. And apparently there's a kill switch. Because the Wednesday night went silent. I like shrunk down below that. Dr. Scudder's like, who is that? But he could never get mad at me. But it was very, very embarrassing for sure. And I never sat in the booth ever again. So what can I say? I like to have audio issues on Wednesdays for sure. But just want to take a moment to thank Pastor Jim for the opportunity. We got blessed here at Quent Road with really great speakers and preachers. Last Wednesday night with Dr. Kakuza, it was really great blessing. And if you weren't here for that one, I would definitely go on YouTube and listen to that one where he went over the fellowship we have in the gospel, and it was really encouraging. And I hope that tonight's message can be encouraging to all of you guys as well. For some of you guys that don't know, I work here at the church. I work in the what's called the upper primary with Joe Vasquez. He's our head honcho, our fearless leader over there. So we have a lot of fourth and fifth graders. And the other day, a couple weeks ago, he was asking me about a verse that he was wondering about, and it was basically just talking about encouraging each other. And it was interesting because in Philippians 2:1, it basically says two or three different ways of encouraging each other right in a row. And so we were kind of wondering why the Lord would go ahead and say that multiple times in a row. And so then we started talking about how that's really the focus of the church when we get together, is to encourage each other, for us to keep on keeping on. And that's something that we grew up hearing a lot. Art Rohrheim used to say that, one of the co-founders of Awana. And I know a lot of you guys work out in the world. You guys have a lot of unsaved people that you work with, and it's very draining. And so the fact that we can get together in midweek and be recharged, I hope that this message will be encouraging to you. The text that I have for today is going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And when we look at that chapter there, we notice the Apostle Paul was more like warning Timothy of the last days. And it goes through a big list of different sins and different people that are contrary to our God, who's holy and perfect. And I know that we've always heard, especially those of you grown up in a church, that, oh, the end times are here, what have you. But I really believe that if Paul was warning Timothy almost 2,000 years ago, that we ought to be warned about that as well, that we're so much closer to those days. And so hopefully, I know some of you guys probably looked ahead at the verses and saw the first point about persecution, and you're like, how is that going to be an encouraging message? But we'll get through that for sure. But Paul says certain things here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, leading up to verse 12. It says that if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. And he goes through and talks about how we all will suffer. It's not, are they going to, are they not? It's, no, if you live godly, you will suffer. And in verse Says in verse 12, yea, all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. There's no nuances there. There's no unless this. No. He's saying this to Timothy, expecting that Timothy will live godly. He's expecting that we will do what God wants us to do. And hopefully the thought of persecution won't really take us by surprise, because even Jesus spoke of it. We see Jesus, when he's talking to his disciples in John 15, verses 19-20, it says, if you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, therefore, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. So I want to remind us in the fact that we shouldn't be surprised if we suffer persecution. In fact, the amount of time that Western Christianity and American Christianity has gone without persecution is out of the ordinary. It's unnormal. But it's coming. And we need to be warned of that and be strengthened with each other, knowing that there will be battles that we fight outside of the walls of the church. My wife, she knows some people personally who dealt with persecution before we were married, and she found the love of her life, yours truly. She lived in the Middle East for quite a period of time. And while there, it wasn't uncommon for families to disown someone if they converted. In fact, according to the laws of the land, it was illegal to change the religion. You know, if you were born in a Christian family, you're Christian. If you're born in a Muslim family, you're Muslim. And by even changing that, gave family all sorts of rights to do whatever they wanted. In fact, while she was there, she knew of several funerals that were for pastors in that country. And one of the pastors that she had actually been to his church and spent time with actually was an American missionary who was arrested. And thankfully, the Lord used Vice President Pence and Donald Trump to contact the head of that state, that nation, and said, no, you will send him back to this country. But over there, persecution is a daily reality. And we don't really know what that's like unless we've experienced firsthand. You know, a lot of times you hear someone give a little testimony about persecution. Well, I told someone about Christ and, you know, they made me feel uncomfortable. You know, that's not what the Bible talks about persecution. That's not what it's talking about when it says suffering. In fact, we had a nice family come over to our house last week, and he was telling us about in his village in India that it's not uncommon for them to just burn a house because that person has said that they follow Christ. And we know personally here with our student Jamong and his part of India, and we had another missionary lady, Rachel, who came, and she's dealing with the side effects of persecution personally as well, to where she had to flee the country. And all of these things might happen in our lifetime here. The Lord knows. It's something we should pray about. But the truth of the matter is the verse says, all that will live godly shall suffer persecution. In 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10, the Apostle Paul says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This passage tells us that if we go out of our way to avoid conflicts, we go out of our way to avoid persecution, we're no longer using God's strength. We're trying to do it in our own strength. But when we do live out our Christian faith the way that God's called us to, in whatever area and whatever consequences there are, there's God's power and His strength. Another passage I didn't put on your verse sheet that goes along with this is, when I was thinking about this, was Romans 8, where it talks about all the things that cannot separate us from the love of God. And praise God that even if we do have persecution in our lifetime right here, even persecution cannot separate us from God. Someone can burn our home here, but they can't touch our home in heaven. They can hurt or harm our bodies, but our perfected new body in heaven is unscathed. In 2 Timothy, going back to our text here, chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." We should also not be surprised when there are people out there trying to pervert God's word, trying to pervert the message that we have. And it doesn't sugarcoat it here. It doesn't say, oh, they'll try to do these things. No, it says that they will be deceiving and being deceived. They will succeed. There are many people that these false prophets, these wolves in sheep's clothing, will convince. We need to know that so we can, with the Lord's help, be stronger and bolder sharing the truth, knowing that we have the Word of God, that we don't rely on one person's interpretation of it, but we can look and see what Scripture says about Scripture. In 2 Peter 2, 1 through 2, Peter warns about this. It says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall be bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bringing themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Again, it says that many shall follow them. These people will be successful in the fact that the devil can use them to bring people along the broad way to hell. These aren't talking about leaders of countries or cities. This is talking about spiritual leaders. This is talking about pastors, elders. This is talking about people that go knocking on your door. These people will have many followers. But praise the Lord that the Lord died for those people too. He's offered salvation and His grace is for them as well. And we know that Paul himself had given persecutions. He held the coat of Stephen at his martyr. Yet Paul went through so many persecutions. But why? Because he thought that these people were doing something against God. And so same with these perverters are doing, changing up the word and what have you because of what they believe that their God is. They believe that what we are teaching is hurting their God, when in reality there is only one God, and He has only one Son who died for all of us. And we need to be brave and know that the person we share that with might be a Paul. It was in fact on Paul's way to persecution that he had his encounter with his Savior. My third point here is that the preserved will stand. We're going to look at the last part of this chapter, starting verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Right here in verse 14 is where I got the title here, Keep On Keeping On. It says, but continue thou. This is a message that's for a crowd like this. Many of you guys have been saved for quite a while. Many of you longer than I've been alive. But yet we still need to be reminded to continue in the truth that we've learned. Continue using and applying what God has given us. Especially knowing that there are people out there that are going to pervert what we have. When I was in Honduras, our house is about a block away from where the Latter-day Saints missionaries that would come into the northern coast of Honduras where they would stay. That was their little place. It was a house that they rented. And we had a lot of people while we were there that would rotate. If they would do like 2-year missions. But they would do about 6 months of it over in our town. And we had a lot of opportunities talking with them because, one, they could talk to somebody in English for a second. But they would use the Bible that everybody else in Honduras would use. The ones that go door to door here in the States, they use the King James that we use. Now they have their own books that they add to it and what have you. But if we don't know and we don't continue to be in God's Word, they can run laps around you. The way they can flip through this book, they can make it say whatever they want. But when we know what we believe and why we believe it, it opens the door for them to actually stop and think. It's so important that we continue in the things that we've learned. And it says, and been assured of. We learned them. And how many times do we relearn it? We see it put in a different aspect, but the same truth. Anyone who's been saved for a good amount of time and has decided that they're going to read through their Bible, you learn a lot of things. And the second time you go through, you learn more. But there's also things that you learned that first time that you're like, oh, yeah. Or you have a new experience in life that you can see exactly how God's word applied to that. It also says, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Hopefully, when you are talking to someone and they find out you're a Christian, and they find out that you go to Quentin Road, hopefully the reason why you don't believe everything is, well, Pastor Jim said, or Nathan on Wednesday said. No, we need to believe it because God said, His Word says. And how many times do we hear Pastor Jim give that challenge to us? Look at what he's preaching. Read it. Study it. The more that we look into the truth, the more that we even ask God to help us understand the truth, the more he's also going to give us opportunities to use that truth, not just for our own lives, but also those that we have come in contact with. I love verse 15 where it says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Now, I know for everyone in this room it's different. Some of you guys got saved much later in life. But for me, I've known these scriptures my whole life. Very grateful to my parents for being a member here. I'm very grateful for Dr. Scudder and starting this church and the school that I grew up going to. But even having known this my whole life, I'm still challenged to be assured of it, to continue in it. It's not, oh, well, he graduated Bible college. Now he can put his Bible on a shelf and he's done. No, God wants us to continue to grow in his grace and knowledge. And it says here in verse 16 that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. You and I don't have to worry about the part of the Bible we're reading. Like, oh, do I have to ignore that part? Or is that there for a reason? Some people that I knew while ministering in Honduras, they really believed that you can pick and choose on the Bible because we don't really know what's true, what's not, what's original, what's not. But thankfully at this church, we can learn and we can see even from inside scripture that what we have is preserved. What we have is what God intends for us to use in our lives. We don't have to worry about not having all of it, needing to go find the latest book that they found in a scroll somewhere. Through the test of Christianity, we have the canon. We have God's complete word. And it's so useful for each and every one of us for correction, for reproof. It's for our doctrine, for our teaching, for our learning, for instruction in righteousness. How are we to know how to live according to how God wants us to if we don't pick up his word? If we don't pick up his manual to see for our daily life? Even if we went to church Sunday morning, Sunday school, the service, Sunday night, Thrive at 5, Wednesday, that's only four, maybe come simple steps, 6 hours a week. God wants us to be in his word and for it to permeate every aspect of our lives so we can know how we should conduct as his children. And as we're in it more and more and more, we can stand stronger on his word, knowing that if someone asks a question about it, we're not fumbling. We're not going, oh, yeah, well, let me ask. There's nothing wrong with asking, but finding out why things are true, finding out what God says. In Psalm 119, verse 9 through 11, it tells us, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word, with my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. God's word tells us, David tells us in that hiding this in our heart is what's going to keep us from sinning against God. By knowing his commandments, his precepts. I love that Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, and yet it's the one that speaks the most about God's word and the truth that's in there, because it's such an important thing for each one of us to know. We wouldn't know what needs to be cleansed from our life apart from God saying, hey, that's not what I intended for you. Our nature, our sin nature, wants to do what feels great for us, what's convenient for us. But God's word shows us that not everything that feels good is good. Actually, most things that do aren't. But we wouldn't know that apart from God's word. And to go back into verse 15, it says, at the end of 15, talking about the Holy Scriptures, it says, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We wouldn't know how to go to heaven if it wasn't for God's word. We wouldn't have the message that Christ came to this earth to die, to pay for all of our sins. We wouldn't know what sins are if it wasn't for God's word. So many different reasons for us to continue to keep on keeping on with God's word. When we decide to go, well, God's word's good, but this author says this, or this philosopher says this, what we're doing is we're taking steps away from the simplicity of God's word, from the simplicity of the gospel. Because the more we rely on man's teaching, man's philosophy, the more we're going to want to go towards works for salvation, the more we're going to want to go, well, we've earned it. But praise God that his word says over and over and over. It says, Nathan, you can't earn your way to heaven even if you wanted to. If there's anybody in here who doesn't know for sure they're going to heaven, I implore you for today that this message is more important than worrying about if someone's going to be knocking on your door for being a Christian. This message is more important than anything else that you have, is the fact that we can have eternal life. We can know we're going to heaven. I'm going to do something that's never been done here before. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm going to let this wallet here represent sin. It's not really a wallet, but you know what? We'll go with it. A phone. And I'm going to let this hand represent every single one of us in this room. We all have sin. Many people have heard all their life, well, if you turn a new leaf, you can go to heaven. Well, at the end of the day, all you have is an upside down leaf. They say, well, if you do enough good works, somebody right next to you might not see that sin, but that sin is still there. It doesn't take away the sin. There's only one way for that sin to be taken away. And the reason why it needs to be taken away is because God is holy. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, the payment of that. If we brought sin into heaven where God is, if this hand represents God, if we brought sin in to heaven, there would be death. There'd be diseases, there'd be racism, there'd be all sorts of problems that we have right here on this earth, up in heaven, and it would, by definition, not be paradise. It would not be heaven. And because sin has the wage of death, it needed to be paid. But if you or I were to try to pay for that, we would have to spend an eternity separated from God in a place called hell. God doesn't want that for anyone. In fact, he went way above and beyond so that nobody has to go there. He took the penalty for us. He sent his son. I want this hand to represent Jesus Christ, who loved us. He loves us. Hates us then. He died on the cross, took all of our sins upon him. He rose again the third day, showing that God the Father had accepted that payment. And if we simply believe in him, the Bible says that we have everlasting life. Nothing can take us away from God. It tells us in John that those that believe become sons of God. We can never be unborn. You are now part of his family if you simply believe that. Now, no one's forcing you to believe that if you don't want to. The Bible says that you can pay for it on your own. And unfortunately, there are every day people who chose to spend an eternity away from him. But I hope that it can be said that nobody in here or watching online has chose that. And I hope that those that have trusted Christ as their Savior, that you are emboldened to stand on the truth that we have of God's word, knowing that there is an eternity in the balance. Those around us need to hear the message, and we need to be faithful and continue in what we've known to share.